You can also send us a picture so Bob can really get a look at what you're talking about and probably give you a better answer. And we actually... Actually, to tell you the truth, this was on Facebook, and I emailed it to Bob.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But Chris is actually having a problem. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, yeah. In her tree, she has these big masses of webs. And what they are is bagworms, and they do occur this time of year, usually a little bit later. It's the fall bagworm, and they're really pretty harmless. I mean, they can eat a lot of leaves, but... It's usually not a bad sign for the tree. But to get rid of them, all you do is cut them out of there, and you can either burn them the old-fashioned way to destroy them all so they can't climb back up a tree and start making a whole new colony. Or, like I do, I just put them in a bucket of water, you know, and drowned them that way.
Okay.
So, yeah, they can occur, and it's a good idea to get rid of them. Otherwise, they can start to build bigger and bigger colonies, and then maybe do a little damage to your tree, but it's not going to kill the tree.
Okay, so as long as she gets rid of them now, then...
Yeah, get rid of them now, yeah. And the sooner you see them, the more successful you will be. If you see that big wad of web... And there's nothing in it. Well, then it's a little bit late. They've all grown up, and are all through the tree. Then, and you'll probably see a lot of birds in that tree collecting them. But clip them out, burn them, or drown them in a bucket of water.
So, is there anything you can do after they get out into the tree if they do? If you don't catch them early?
Yeah, there are. There are. And one of my favorite ways is. The systemic insecticide. Systemic means it's going to go all inside the tree. It's not like a spray that you spray right on the foliage. Some of those will work well too. But the systemic is one that you'll water in, that you'll mix. It can come as a powder that you'll sprinkle around in water, or a liquid that you mix with water and water around your plant. Plant absorbs it, sends it all through the tree. And then wherever an insect bites a leaf, it gets that poison and kills them off that way.
Okay.
But most of the time with the bagworms, there's really nothing to worry about too much. Just clip out those webs and don't worry about them chewing up a few leaves. It's really not going to kill the tree.
So they're pretty noticeable and ugly, so... Probably you're going to see them before they cause a problem.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Especially early morning when they're still due, really makes those webs stand out. You can even see them, you know, across the hill even. And there's been years where we've had lots of them where people see the webs all along the highway.
Okay. So there was also another question somebody asked on Facebook, and you answered it.
Yeah, yeah. A person had a weeping tree. They called it a weeping mulberry. And all of a sudden it's sprouted a branch that isn't weeping, that's growing straight up. And, of course, you can see in the picture on the website that it's more vigorous, we call it, more vigorous than the rest of it. And it's a good idea to trim them out immediately, especially a weeping tree. Anything that isn't growing laterally, that's growing horizontal, or vertical, I mean, vertical, yeah, up okay. And down, you should get rid of right away because they can rob the tree of all its energy and it'll go to that, and that'll become the dominant part. And you don't want that with a weeping tree. But what really is happening here, and we've seen this a few years ago when we really had a real cold winter. It made a lot of, not a lot, it made a few trees and shrubs mutate. One branch or two branches even. And all of a sudden they had a growth spurt that's unlike the rest of the plant. And this is what may have happened here. It may have started a few years ago, and they really didn't notice it at that time. But usually something in nature can make a plant mutate. You know, in a real cold winter is one, or some kind of stress. Any kind of stress, maybe a real dry period or a real wet period, any of those that puts a plant under stress, it can mutate and form a different type of branching on a tree or a shrub, even shrub too. And so as soon as you see them, try to get rid of them, you know, and that's where a lot of our unusual dwarf plants have come from. They call them witch's brooms a lot of times, where part of the tree is mutated and it has formed a little tiny dwarf growth, but it's real thick. And of course, arborists and horticulturists have collected those and they became and propagated them. So they became new plants, like a dwarf pine or dwarf spruce. It was just from a mutation on the plant.
Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So feel free to just trim it right off anytime. It doesn't matter when. But, you know, sooner you see those mutations, the quicker you trim them off, the better off they are. Doesn't matter what time of year because you're not doing a lot of trimming. You're just taking off one little branch.
Okay. So I have one more question. This comes from my friend Stephanie in Carbondale, Illinois again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she's having a problem with raccoons.
Yes.
In her yard. Her dog, standard poodle, if you could picture this, is standing guard and trying to fight them all away. But she's an old dog. She can't get them all. Yeah. So Stephanie wants to know what she can do.
What she can do is, and it's not real successful, but mothballs. Where you think the raccoon is appearing, a few mothballs sprinkled around can help. Of course, there are other deterrents that keep some of the rodents and mammals away. You know, deer off, and there's a number of them. Deer away, and they got all those real tricky names. Rabbit away. Those can help. You know, and then there's even ones for to keep moles away and snakes away. There's all sorts of those products. And they all go by scent, really. But a raccoon, you know, is a real opportunistic animal and eats almost everything. So it's difficult. And if she lives in an area like we do, you know, well, we live in the forest. So we're going to be surrounded by animals. And so it's impossible, really, to keep every little critter out of our yards. But we can try, though. And a few, you know, it's inexpensive, a few mothballs here and there. You're really not going to notice it. Don't throw a whole box of them because then you will notice the smell. But a few here or there, it may be enough of a scent that it kind of deters the raccoon. And, of course, lastly, then the most successful way is just trapping them out.
Okay.
And that there I would have to recommend, you know, someone that really knows how to trap. And you can do a live trap. And then you carry them miles away and release them. But it might be a good idea to use someone that's experienced in trapping because a trapped animal can be pretty nasty and hard to manage.
Yeah, and those raccoons have, like, sharp claws.
Yeah, so. Sharp claws, sharp teeth, yeah, and they're very quick. So trapping is probably the ultimate way of really getting rid of them.
Okay.
And they're usually solitary animals. They usually don't run in a family. Early spring, yeah, there'll be the mother and all their little kits, I think they're called. No, that's fox kits. The young, all their little young. So for a short time, you may have a little family of them, but most of the time they're singular. So you trap one, you probably got rid of the problem.
Okay. All righty. So that takes care of the questions that we had.
Yeah, good question. Thanks, people.
So, let's go to the phones. I think we have a caller here. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, good morning, Ann. Hi, Bob. This is a plumeria guy.
Okay.
Hey, Bob, a question. White geranium, it's just not doing great. The leaves, like, get brownish color and all that. I've never had any luck with the white ones.
Huh. I have to ask you a few questions. Brownish on the tip of the leaf or in the center of the leaf?
Kind of on the edge, and it just kind of doesn't, you know, it's not very,
okay.
What would you say? It's kind of floppy-like.
Oh, okay. Now, there can be two causes for the brown edges of a leaf. One is not enough water, and then the other is too much water. Now, geraniums don't like a whole lot of water.
So
be careful there. Let them dry out.
Yeah.
Could that possibly be the situation?
Well, I have it planted outside. It was in a pot, and I put it out with our other flowers.
Okay. And you put it in nice potting soil?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it should be well drained then, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe once or twice it has dried out? Is that possible?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I've never had any luck with white ones.
Oh.
We got all kind of the reds and the Washington and so forth, but the white ones never, I don't know.
Ah. Yeah, that's kind of unusual because they should grow just as well as any other color. I would just try to pay a little more attention. You fertilize them?
Once in a while.
Once in a while?
Yeah.
Of course, that won't cause the browning, you know, unless you over-fertilize, then you can get...
No problem there.
So, you got me stumped there.
Me too.
Yeah, because I like white geraniums, and they're a very useful plant, too.
Yeah, keep the bugs away, I guess.
They sure do, yes, yeah.
But anyway, and then we have little roses, you know, teacup roses or whatever.
Yeah.
A sunbonnet one and what have you. They don't do good at all. I don't like roses to begin with.
Oh.
So I put one out behind the white geranium, and it seems to be loving. But the other ones, no.
No? Okay. Yeah, sometimes a plant in the wrong location won't be happy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this year we've had a lot of rains.
Oh, yeah.
And some plants just don't like to be real wet.
That's just like me. I'm not happy.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you know.
Myself, I kind of like the rain.
Yeah. You know, we had a good one last night, didn't we?
Holy moly, yeah.
Yeah, that was a strong rain.
Well, we needed it anyway.
I suppose, yep.
Okay, you guys have a nice weekend. Nice talking to
you. Okay,
well,
thanks.
You too.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, but some of the things you can do, and I really got a feeling it's probably been a little bit too wet because of all these rains. And a lot of us get in the habit of watering our plants, you know, once or twice a week, and even whether they need it or not. And so I got a suspicion that they'd probably be a little bit too wet. So a couple things you can do is to ensure that the soil dries out a little bit more. Maybe scratch the surface of the soil so you can break. A lot of times they get this little invisible layer on top of the surface of the soil that slows up evaporation. And so it keeps the soil waterlogged. And that, of course, can hurt the plant. Or another thing, sometimes I like to take a little stick and poke some holes in the soil down deep. So we have that little hole, which also can help evaporation a little bit more. And then thirdly, if you think the plant may be getting a little waterlogged because of Mother Nature and you overloving it, you know, trying to feed it all the time, water it all the time, maybe a little shot of hydrogen peroxide. Now, that's what really liquid oxygen. And what can happen in soggy soil is it's wet all the time, so it loses all its oxygen, and the plant roots need oxygen just as much as they need water. I've said that 100 times. So a little shot of hydrogen peroxide, and not straight right out of the bottle. Mix it with water, you know, half and half or one-third or even a quarter, depending on how brave you are, and water that in. That'll give that plant a nice shot of oxygen, which it's been lacking because of wet, soggy soil. And that can bring it back to health and vigor and even help dry out the soil a bit. And try to let the soil dry out even to the point where the plant wilts a little bit. Once in a while, it's a good idea, not every time, but once in a while, it's a good idea to really let that soil dry out.
You know, the hardest thing that, I mean, since I've been talking to you and listening to all your tips, hardest thing for me is not to water my plants.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
On like regularly, just like when they need it.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do that.
It is. Yeah.
But boy, especially that geranium you gave me last year. Oh. I mean, it's doing beautifully because I don't water it all the time.
Yeah. A lot of times if you just kind of ignore a plant, you know, it'll do a little better.
That's the best tip, but it's so hard to follow because you learn just water your plants.
Also with the watering, if you continually water a plant, even like your lawn, even, and you just give it a little bit of water, the roots are always going to be searching for the water. So if you're just giving a little bit of water every now and then, it's going to go to where that fresh water is, which is right on top of the ground or soil. And so you have a shallow root system so that when it does have a problem like searching for food or looking for more nutrients, the shallow root system has a rough time. So when you let them dry out, those roots will continually grow out and down searching for more food and water. And of course, that makes a healthier plant. We don't want real shallow root system because that doesn't make for a healthy plant and can put it under stress easily from a real hot, sunny day where that surface dries out quickly. So we want to force some roots to search deep. So once in a while, let them dry out and then give them a real good soaking so that water wets the soil all the way down in or in your lawn, you know, to at least get the 4 to 6 inches deep in the soil. So those roots will continue to grow down and grow bigger so it can support the plant and withstand any stresses.
Science. I love science.
Science.
So we're going to take a break here, but if you have a question for Bob, give us a call at 368-9372-368-WESB. We have this new weird looking mouse and I moved it and forgot how to use it. But we're not going to take a break right now because we don't want this person on the phone to have to wait. So here we go. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
I do. In my flower beds where I have all my mulch in that, it's full of flies. And I've never seen it like that before. And they're on everything. They're on the flowers. And is there a reason they're there or...
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know what kind of fly? Are they real little ones or are they bigger ones?
They're bigger ones.
Bigger ones, okay. And what kind of mulch are you using?
I just buy like the, I guess like the wood mulch.
Mulch, okay. Okay. okay, yeah, geez.
They're everywhere. I thought maybe I had like a bulb I planted that maybe, you know, was rotten. Maybe that was why they were there.
Usually those flies that are going after a rotten part of a plant are those real tiny ones. What color? Do you know, is there any color to the flies? Are they black? Are they green?
They just look like your normal...
house fly?
Like a house fly.
Yeah. Yeah, you got me stumped here. Why you've got a lot of flies here.
In the same area, we have moles, too. And we've tried everything, and we just can't get rid of them.
Okay.
Maybe they're connected somehow, or...
Yeah, they might be. That's given me a little more of a hint. So you've probably got a lot of grubs and worms under the soil. And
yes,
of course,
I have a ton of them.
Yeah. And grubs and worms, they'll die off, and of course the flies will go after them. And so... I'm going to guess that you've got a lot of dead little critters underneath your soil, and that's attracting all the flies. And, of course, all those living creatures under the soil are attracting all the moles. and that they're hard to eradicate. You know, there's a lot of different things. There's the mole X, there's traps, there's...
We've tried all kinds of stuff, and it seems like it just brings them out even more.
Even more. And there's even gum, you know, that makes them eat it, and then they can't go to the bathroom, and that kills them off that way. But one of my favorite ways is to get rid of the grubs under the soil, which you don't see, but there could be a lot of them, is a product called milky spore. And it's a bacterium that won't harm anything but the grubs. And it kills them off, but it does it slowly. Nothing's going to happen overnight. But you can also use a product called Grub X that does poison the grubs right away. But it is a chemical, so it can affect the earthworms. And a lot of times we like to keep the earthworms because they're pretty important to the whole culture of the soil. But I recommend the milky spore because it won't bother anything but the grubs. And again, it works kind of slow, but it eventually will work, especially if you apply it in well-drained areas. Don't apply it anywhere where water collects or the ground is wet because there's probably no grubs there. They just like well-drained soil, and they feed on the roots of your plants until they come to the surface, and then they hatch out into a beetle of some sort. Most of the time, Japanese beetle around here.
Oh, yeah. A lot of my plants, the potato bugs, the little pill bugs,
yeah.
If I leave them sitting on the ground, they're just full of them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I have all kinds of problems, I guess.
Yeah, you do, yeah. So
maybe when fall comes, where I have all my mulch, it might be good to really, you know, mix all that up or dig a lot of that out probably.
That and what, do you water your garden often?
Every day.
Yeah, okay. See, with the mulch, as you're watering constantly, keeping that mulch wet all the time, it's rotting down. And, of course, those potato bugs love that rotten wood. And so they're building a colony there. Really try to slack off on the watering. Let that mulch and your soil dry out from time to time. And it won't be such a nice little home for a lot of those critters.
Okay.
I know it's hard. You know, a lot of us put a lot of hard work and money into a garden, and so we feel we have to water and fertilize constantly, but we're kind of better off to let it dry out from time to time.
All right. Well, I will try all of those things.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yep, thank you.
And we will be right back in 30 seconds.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Here's something you didn't expect. Get a 5-gallon pail of liquid laundry soap for just $34.99. That's a real bargain. See Worth Smith for everything from Toro mowers and treated and untreated lumber to gardening tools, soils, play sand, patio slabs, smoker pellets, and you get the picture. If you need it, you'll find it. Even 5-gallon pails of laundry soap at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware, celebrating their 90th year in business.
W298CM Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. And as always, if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372-368-WESB, and we have a caller right now. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, it's Bob. Hey, the lady just called about the ground moles. I had a bunch of ground moles several years ago. What I did is where the tunnels were, you know, open it up a little, and I put a cap down in there, bigger than bottle caps, and I put chlorine in it.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of covered the opening up, you know, not with dirt or anything, just, and that worked.
Yeah.
The neighbor down across, he said, what are you doing there, Jer? I said, I'm killing lawn moles. I'm putting chlorine in it. He said, no wonder I got dead ones all over my backyard.
Oh, my gosh. I'll be done.
So, gas them.
Yeah, yeah. But just be careful with that. And that's a real common one to gas them out. But just be careful with that. Don't breathe that in much yourself, too.
Oh, no. You know, a neighbor guy had one of the animal traps. And one day we hear, boom, shotgun. Here he had one in his trap, and he shot.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that either.
Okay, have a good day. Thanks.
You bet.
You too.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. If you have a question or a comment, you can give us a call at 368-9372. That's 368-WESB. Or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com. Lots of phone calls, lots of questions today. We love that.
Yeah, some interesting ones too, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got to repeat it here. You know, there has been a lot of rains this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we've gotten a little bit too used to it. So if we go 2 days without rain, we think we got to water our plants. Really, Mother Nature has been supplying enough water for most of our plants. Now, there may be some areas that dry out real quickly. The raised beds, you know, or a pot in the full sun may dry out a little bit quicker. But most of the time, Mother Nature has been supplying enough. So I know it's hard for us to not mother our plants to death by watering them constantly and feeding them constantly. But we really got to try to slack off a little bit and let them dry out. I can't stress that enough because keeping them wet all the time just causes a lot of other problems. And of course, we don't. Those problems can be hard to deal with. I'll just keep repeating it. You know, let them dry out once in a while. Let them wilt down. It will not harm them. It will do them a big benefit.
And it is kind of neat after you let them wilt just a little bit and then water them. It's kind of neat to watch them come back.
Yeah.
And they look so beautiful when they come back.
They do. And even if we don't get a rain, we get heavy dews here, which is equivalent to a little bit of rain. So even when it doesn't rain, they're still getting a little bit of water. So maybe the best way is to really check the soil the old-fashioned way. Dig down 3 or 4 inches. You're going to feel it right away, especially in the middle of the day. The top of the soil will be hot and dry. And as you dig down, all of a sudden you feel it cool and damp. You know, leave that alone. And force them roots to go down deeper and deeper. It makes for a stronger plant. Even with our annuals, you know, even though they're short-lived, we still want to create the biggest root system we can so they can perform the best that they can. Okay. So let them dry out. Really check that soil. If it's in a pot, lift it. You know, if it feels heavy, it's probably still wet, even though the surface looks dry. Just be careful.
Okay. So, Bob, the Creative Women's Workshop last week.
Oh, yeah.
How did it go for you?
Oh, it went real well. Boy, we had a ball. Holy mackerel. That was nice.
I was watching. I didn't get to see you till after lunch, but I was watching the people who were doing your thing, and they looked really happy. The ladies going back to their cars with their logs.
Yeah.
Everybody looked really happy.
You know, one thing that really surprised me a lot, Aunt Sally was there.
Yes, Sally taught me a class.
Yeah, was just about every woman knew how to operate a drill. You know, we had to drill holes in the logs to put the inoculant in for the mushrooms. And every woman there, even if they didn't know how, they sure acted like they knew how. I was really shocked at that.
I bought my first drill 2 years ago.
Oh.
And so I know how to use a drill.
And I know a lot of you ladies are saying, well, why are you so shocked? And because I'm old fashioned and I just just surprised. You know, my wife, she can operate a drill just as well as I can. But I just thought a lot of women probably had never operated a electric drill before and drilled holes. We were drilling serious holes, but these ladies did a great, great job.
All right.
Not a single one of them needed help drilling. Not a one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love hearing that.
Me too.
And I have one more thing I have to mention. I've been meaning to mention this for weeks and weeks and weeks. I have to give a shout out to Darla Oaks. If you've driven by by between Four Walls and the corner of St. Francis Drive and East Main Street, the flowers and shrubs that are there on the St. Francis side, Darla does that. And she plants them and takes care of them. And it's just beautiful. And yeah. I just every day it makes me smile when I turn into St. Francis Drive because she just does a beautiful job. And thanks, Darla, for brightening my day every day.
Yeah. And the thing I noticed, and of course, a lot of people have said this before, you know, it kind of makes everybody slow down, especially people like me, you know, so you got to really look at it. So you kind of slow down a little bit. You start paying attention to all the surrounding area a little bit more. So, yeah. Thank you from me too, Carla.
Okay. All righty. And we will see you next week. And if you have a question during the week, send us an email at garden@wesb.com, and we will be here next week.
Tune in next Saturday for more tips from Master Gardener Bob Harris on 1490 WESB Bradford.
The 46th Annual Big 30 All-Star Charities Classic is Saturday night at 7 at Bradford's Parkway Field. Big 30 pregame on the air.